Ben Simmons is done with the Philadelphia 76ers, won't report at the start of training camp. What's that mean for him? What's it mean for the team? Who's to blame? And there's some league-wide ramifications in this. We're going to get to it all in today's episode of Locked On NBA. Let's go.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the free daily podcast covering everything you want to know about the association. And on Wednesdays, I'm your co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. And I'm joined today by Kane Pittman, host of the Locked On Bucks podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kane Pittman. What's going on, man?
Not too much. I've been on this show before. I've done segments from time to time, but I've never sat in the co-host chair for the full show. So this is a big day for me.
Look, we even made you like a graphic and everything. We tried to make this like as special as possible. Maybe you print it out and like frame it after. Is the show worthy of that?
Well, it could well be. And we were going to do this last week. If people haven't heard Locked On Bucks or aren't familiar with me, you might pick up that I'm Australian. You did send a message through. It was in the middle of the night. By the time I got back to you, it was far too late for us to make it happen. So I'm glad you gave me a second chance.
Of course, we had to have you on. And look, we got a good show today, right? Like, I love the NBA offseason because sometimes you'd hit this point of the year, right? And like, it would be kind of like pulling teeth to find things to talk about. And the NBA is just like the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to storylines. We got the big one right now with Ben Simmons deciding he is done with the Philadelphia 76ers, won't report to them for training camp, basically saying, trade me now, otherwise this might get worse. So first and foremost, like this is a mess, right? Like this is just an abject disaster, in my opinion, I think, both for him and for the team.
Well, the Sixers feel like they've been a little bit of a mess for a number of seasons now, haven't they? Despite the fact they've always been near the top of the East, there's been constant change with the roster, constant turnover. And I tell you, I blame Kawhi for this. I've mentioned this before, but if you go, and this is the perfect example of a sports team where one moment, one shot, one bounce of the ball can completely change the course of a franchise. And if you look at where the narrative sits with Ben Simmons now and think back to that team where they had Jimmy Butler, they're in a game seven. If they win that series, maybe they go on to win the championship. They probably do. Back. Right. They probably bring the team back and none of this happens. So I blame Kawhi.
You know, I wanted to ask you who we're going to like blame for this. Is this Ben Simmons' fault? Is this the 76ers' fault? Is it Daryl Morey's fault? I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right. Like they would have probably won the championship that year that the Raptors did if they beat them, if it wasn't for that Kawhi bounce. What, two bounces and then it goes in. And if the wind blows in there, the AC blows a little bit differently. You're right. They run that team back. They don't lose Jimmy Butler. They bring it all back and he's got an NBA ring and we're probably having this discussion right now. It's kind of wild to think about that actually.
Yeah, and there will be some people that will say, well, they wouldn't have brought the team back because there was the relationship stuff that no one really knows actually what was going on with Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler, which is another story in itself. But that's been part of the issue of how the Sixers got here. There's always been Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid stuff. Not only do they fit on the court together, but do they actually like each other? They've been playing it down for the last couple of seasons, but we really saw after the series against Atlanta, I didn't think anyone walked away from that Zoom call or that press conference after that game and felt that Ben Simmons was going to be back, at least not for the long term. I don't think anyone felt that. And when you ask seriously who you blame, I don't think that there's one person to blame. I think this has been something that's been building for a number of years. And when you do have playoff disappointments consecutively, I think ultimately it's always going to come to a head at some point.
Yeah, there's like the Reddit page, right? The Am I the Asshole page where people like post their stories and like people kind of like vote on who the, I guess, jerk would be here. You know, it feels like if you were to put this on there, they'd be like everyone's the jerk in this situation, right? Like Ben Simmons has not grown as a player whatsoever, hasn't developed the jumper, clearly doesn't seem to like work on his craft as hard as you'd like him to be, despite how good he is. And then you have the Philadelphia 76ers who after that playoff series, their head coach Doc Rivers threw him completely under the bus. You had Joel Embiid throw him completely under the bus. And then they've been working on trades to ship him out basically all offseason, and it just hasn't materialized because they haven't gotten the return that they want for him. You know, he's got to be better than he's been. And the Philadelphia 76ers probably realize they should have handled this a little bit better than he did, because things have gotten so acrimonious that he's taken the nuclear option, right? We've kind of seen this develop over the years of the way you force your way off of a team is just create such a dysfunctional situation that no one can stand it. We haven't really seen it in a situation like this. We'll get into this in the third segment, but it's a dude with 4 years left on his deal being like, screw you guys. I'm going to tank my trade value so that you just have to get rid of me just to make it happen. It's kind of nuts to see.
Yeah, when you talk about the development stuff with Ben Simmons, it's clear. Everyone's seen it. He's an all-world defender. We know what he can do in transition. He does so many things well, but in terms of the offensive diversity and the shots that he can take, everyone talks about it, but we just haven't seen the improvement. And I always come back to with, and this isn't just with superstar players, but it's with role players as well, that happiness in the situation can so often change everything. And this has clearly been a situation that he hasn't been happy in for a number of years. Now, how much of that blame does he have to take? Again, we're speculating because we don't actually see him. We don't know how much he's working. And we know that it gets to the point, particularly with social media, where the guy goes to a tennis match at Wimbledon and all of a sudden he's getting slammed on the internet for a week. But yeah, we don't know what he's doing outside of that. So, I think that, and again, we're going to move into this and we will get to it, but this clearly wasn't a happy situation. And I think anyone in any workplace, if what happened to him after that playoff game,
oh, totally,
you wouldn't want to come back. There's no way you would want to go back to that environment.
Look, that's why, like, I'm blaming all of them, but I'm also like not blaming everyone too, I guess, is the other way to look at it. Because if I were in Ben Simmons' shoes, I would totally be going, like, screw you guys. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to make this as uncomfortable as possible so that you have to trade me right away, that you just can't let this leak over into the regular season. And then if I'm the 76ers, I'm also looking at it and being like, man, it just isn't working. We probably do need to do what's best for the team. We need to trade him. So I don't know. Is this like a situation where everyone's to blame, but also like no one's really to blame, I guess?
Well, Ben Simmons clearly, I mean, in my opinion anyway, still holds the cards here. I mean, the Sixers completely tanked the value. And now for Ben Simmons, and we'll get into the ramifications of what it means league-wide, but for him specifically, even financially, there's a lot of talk about how he can get fined. This can happen, holdouts, all that sort of stuff. The guy has multiple years left on his contract, millions and millions and millions of dollars. He can afford to hold out for a little bit here. And it is a different situation, but he, to me, is the one in the position of power here. I mean, if he's happy to work out and not return, then to me, it feels like he's going to be just fine.
All right, let's get into that in the next segment, because I actually think that's a really interesting point. And I agree with you that I actually think he has more leverage here than maybe people realize. But before we do that, today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the other good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without all the hassle. And it's a great way to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling like 8 different remotes. No need to buy another device ever again. And best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Today's episode of Locked On NBA is also brought to you by Sleeper Game Picks. In 2018, the fantasy sports experts over at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken. Games were being won and lost based on whose players had more games played that week. It made no sense. There was no strategy whatsoever to it. The only stat that mattered was game played. So in 2020, Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. And it's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team score, ensuring an even number of games played between opponents. Days of losing because your opponent simply had more games played, that's gone. Days of forgetting to set your lineup, all the busy work that comes with it, that's gone. giving up halfway through the season because you're tired of dealing with all that busy work, that's done. In game picks, you pick one game per week for each player based on player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play, and more. And all that adds up to a much more strategic version of fantasy basketball without the busy work. Whether you prefer a redraft, keeper, or dynasty, game picks has you covered, and Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. If you play fantasy football, if you prefer building out a weekly strategy versus daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app and start a league with your friends today. You will not be disappointed. All right, here on the Locked On NBA podcast, again, the free daily show covering everything you want to know about the association, talking Ben Simmons and the mess that is going on with him in the Philadelphia 76ers. And Kane, you made an interesting point that you think Ben Simmons has the leverage in this, and I'm inclined to agree with you. Is it simply that Philly's trying to contend for a title right now, and they either need him or they need a replacement for him?
Yeah, well, this to me is why this is such a disaster for the Philadelphia 76ers, because I don't think that they're looking at Joel Embiid, and I don't think anyone's looking at Joel Embiid, and this sucks, but it's also a reality. This is a guy that's had a lot of injuries through the course of his career. So I don't think that they're looking at Joel Embiid and saying, well, we got plenty of time here. We got plenty of time to waste. If we tank this season, we don't win a championship, we're not genuinely contending, it's totally fine. That's not the situation. And I don't think Embiid is going to be happy if they get a lower return in a trade and not a superstar caliber player or an all NBA caliber player, which Ben Simmons has been before. So that's why, to me, this is just the worst possible situation for Philadelphia, because they've tanked the trade value. And now Ben Simmons is saying, well, if you thought I was just going to come back and play and the team's going to be good and they're going to rack up wins and you can find a trade for me during the season, I'm not doing that.
No, he's like not rehabbing. His value's at an all-time low, and that's where we're seeing kind of this stalemate, right? Like Daryl Morey, the master of value and all of that stuff, isn't going to accept what he thinks is a subpar offer for this player, and that's why Simmons is kind of taking this nuclear option of making things so bad that he's trying to force Daryl Morey's hand, and you have these two guys at a stalemate just kind of staring at each other, and we're waiting for one of them to blink. But one of them can afford to be a little bit patient, and that's Ben Simmons, as you said. He's got a lot of money. If they start fining him, he's probably going to be fine. Also, you got to wonder if Rich Paul's just tossing him that cash out of the clutch fund probably to like cover all of that, because he's following Rich Paul's advice on all of this. I don't think the money actually matters to him here. His contract's guaranteed. He's getting paid $30+ million. One half of a season basically is going to recoup all of that stuff. And look, he's owed about a quarter of his salary coming up, and that's $8 million. So I wonder if that's such an amount of money that maybe it changes the equation a little bit. I don't know. It seems like he just wants to like stick it to this team and to Daryl Morey that he's not going to. And I agree, it gives him the leverage because Philly wants to win a title this coming year. Who knows how long that window is going to be open for. So they need to do something sooner rather than later, because if you start losing games at the start of the year and Ben Simmons is sitting at home, oh, that's like it's an absolute mess, right? And then this leads to the question of what trade makes sense, because I don't know if there's a ton out there, right? Like they're not going to trade him for some young players and a bunch of picks. They want a guy that's going to help him or help the team win now. That makes this a little bit tougher, I think, to try and find a deal.
It does. And I feel like probably to this point, we have been, well, certainly I have been defensive of Ben Simmons in this whole situation, or making out that everything's fine. We should also say that clearly if he decides not to even show up at all, this is not good for his brand, and certainly probably amplifies the question marks that other franchises have about how professional this guy is, what type of player are they going to be getting coming into the franchise. So we should acknowledge that. As far as trades that could make sense, it's so difficult because we haven't been in a situation like this. But I will say this, I was laughing when I saw the John Wall Houston situation playing out, just because for the Rockets, this would be so awesome if Daryl Morey goes to Philadelphia. They can't get a James Harden deal done for whatever reason. If that was Houston saying, no, we're not trading with you, that's cool, that's fine. They made that decision. I think they're probably fine with where the franchise sits right now in the middle of a reset. But if a few months later they could trade John Wall and get Ben Simmons back, it would just be the best. It would be unbelievable.
That it would be an amazing way of, I guess, sticking it to Daryl Morey if you're the Houston Rockets, right? Like, they're going to be celebrating over at the Locked On Rockets podcast if that was the case. I see that one floated out, but that's not realistic, right? Yeah. Like, I don't hate John Wall in a vacuum. I hate him at that contract that he has, right? But somewhat of a useful player still, but, like, that's not what they need, is it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think from where John Wall's been, from how little we've seen him over the last few seasons, I don't think that that's the best that the Sixers are going to be able to do. I keep coming back to the Sacramento Kings, and I tweeted something about this last night, but I think when we look at the value of Ben Simmons, and remember, he's been in the league 4 seasons, a 3-time All-Star, an All-NBA player, 2-time All-Defensive player, All-Defensive team member, and you know, you can make the case for him this year that he probably should have been Defensive Player of the Year, or could have been Defensive Player of the Year. So you're not talking about a scrub. I mean, I think we've gone a little bit too far. And when I see Sacramento Kings fans saying there's no way I would trade De'Aaron Fox for Ben Simmons, I'm like, come on, man. That to me is a move that could really benefit both teams. And you're not talking about De'Aaron Fox as being some super young talent that is so far off Ben Simmons. Fox turns 24 in December. Ben Simmons is only 25. I mean, the age gap is not that significant. I don't know. I mean, that is a deal that I could see benefiting both franchises based around that. Around Fox and Simmons.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love to try and pull a trade without including Fox in there. Do you include maybe like Tyrese Halliburton and maybe Buddy Hield or something like that? But I'm with you. They'd want Fox, and that's who they'd be angling for. And I'm with you also. We did a hot takes episode of Locked On NBA, John and I, a couple weeks ago. And one of mine was like, Ben Simmons is still a useful player. And that almost seems like you want to like whisper that and not scream it out on Twitter right now, because I do think people have gone a little bit overboard. Look, there's maybe like 10 players in the league that you don't need to build a team around that just are so well-rounded you can plop them anywhere and they're going to help you win. Okay, Ben Simmons isn't that, but he's still a damn useful player, as you mentioned, and does a lot of things really well. He's a great playmaker and elite defender. You know, I also think like Golden State would make sense too, right? But do they have – would they – if you were the 76ers and Golden State went to you and said, okay, we know you need a player that can help you win now. Are you interested in Draymond Green and one of the rookies or Wiseman and a pick? Is that something that if you were running the Philadelphia 76ers, you'd consider?
Probably not, because again, just because of the timeline when you look at Joel Embiid, like that's what I keep coming back to. So I try and think about the happiness of Embiid within the franchise, which if it wasn't already critical, it's obviously absolutely critical now. He is the franchise, he's the superstar. So I just feel like if you're going to tell him, well, you're going to get a pick, you're going to get a guy in his second year, how do you feel about that? I just think he's going to be like, what are you talking about? So who's starting?
Draymond Green doesn't do it for you at all?
No, not really. Because I don't think Draymond Green at this point is the type of player you're going to plug in. I don't think Draymond Green makes the Sixers better than what Ben Simmons would. And whether that's playoffs, regular season.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough. Like, it's tough to find a trade for him where like things make sense. And that's why it's like they need to get this done right away. And I just don't know how. This is as much money as it would be nice to have, you know, on Daryl Morey's salary. Maybe I'm kind of glad I'm not in that position right now, I think, because he's in a tough spot where like everyone wants to stick it to him a little bit. And this is going to drag out a little bit further. There's also ramifications for the league as a whole, I think, though, especially when we look at some milestones coming up in the NBA's future. We're getting into that coming up here next in today's episode of Locked On NBA. But before we do that, today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar, it's the best tasting protein bar out there. I just got a new flavor sent to me. The chocolate chip cookie dough flavor. There we go. And it was delicious. Got to try that thing today. This is one of the better flavors that they have. All of their flavors are delicious. I love the strawberry, the salted caramel, the double chocolate. They're the best tasting protein bar out there. If you're eating a protein bar every day before or after your workout, maybe for breakfast, maybe for lunch, something like that, you may as well get the best tasting one. And that is what Built Bar is. And not only are they the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories between 130 and 180. So you're not wasting all the cardio that you just did. Only 4 to 5 grams sugar, only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. They're all amazing, all tasty, all healthy. Plus, they have limited edition special flavors. If you can ever buy the coconut brownie chunk, you absolutely need to do it. So go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you're going to get 15% off your next order. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off over at built.com. And today's episode of Locked On NBA also brought to you by betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever because all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this year. And with the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and fun contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to the website using your mobile device, sign up today, and receive a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up when you use promo code Locked On. Again, that is promo code Locked On. You can also use promo code NFL100 from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, talking all things Ben Simmons today after the news that he won't report to the Philadelphia 76ers with Kane Pittman on the Locked On NBA show. So we talked about who's to blame, if you can really find a trade that makes sense, and how much leverage Ben Simmons has. I think there's also some far-reaching implications of this. We've started to see this pattern of players make things dysfunctional, they force their way out, and they kind of go to their preferred destination. Anthony Davis tried it with the Pelicans, didn't happen immediately, but eventually got his trade to the Lakers because he killed any leverage that any other team could have, and they were the only option pretty much left there. James Harden kind of showed up out of shape, tanked the season, and made things so dysfunctional with the Houston Rockets that he got traded mid-season with basically 3 years left on his deal to the Brooklyn Nets. And now you're seeing Ben Simmons do this with 4 years left on his contract. They've got full team control. This shouldn't be an issue, but it seems like this is kind of the next evolution of this. So my question is, this has to be a bad thing for the league, right? Like, I'm pro player empowerment and player movement, but this feels like we've reached a tipping point where like this is a little too far, and I'm not liking this situation.
Yeah, as much as we talk about the fact that we think that Ben Simmons has the leverage and he can afford to eat some fines or whatever it may be, I still don't think that's a great thing for the league, as you point to. And you know the Anthony Davis situation far better than I do. You're a lot closer to it to me. But I think this is a little bit different because what we've seen in the past with a guy like Anthony Davis, yeah, he could sort of shoehorn his way into wherever he wanted to go. But his value was fine. His value was still peaked. And there was a little bit of a concern, I would imagine, particularly with a guy like Davis from the Pelicans, that, okay, what happens if he gets injured here? And this has been a case with other players as well, that there is that concern. With Ben Simmons, the Sixers probably desperately really want him to play so they can help facilitate the trade. So that's why this one feels a little bit different. And I mean, I would imagine that this, if this happens and he doesn't show up to the training camp and doesn't show up for opening night and then eventually gets moved, it feels like it's going to happen again, right? It feels like this is the first of other superstars realizing, oh, I don't want to play here anymore. I'm just not going to show up. It's fine. I'll get moved where I want to go.
Yeah. And so I don't really care so much about the owners in this and them having to like deal with this, but it sucks for fans, right? Like that's who the real losers in this. Like there's no way fans come out of this, of the Philadelphia 76ers, of the Pelicans, of the Rockets at the time, come out feeling good about this, right? It just kind of burns them on this. So as much as I'm sure Adam Silver in the league is loving that we're spending a whole episode on the show talking about this, and people eat this stuff up, and they should. It's drama. It's fun. We love this sort of thing. It still kind of burns people, and there's losers in this, and it's not just the 76ers or Ben Simmons. It's the fans of the Philadelphia 76ers who are like innocent bystanders catching like strays in all of this, I think. And while player empowerment and all that movement is good, There is something to be said for honoring, you know, that contract. I sound like a super old guy like saying something like that, but you get what I'm trying to say, right?
I do. And you just made me think about whenever this goes down and whenever it gets traded, we know it's eventually going to happen. The next time Ben Simmons goes into Philadelphia, what do you think the reception might be there from the always vocal Philadelphia sports fans?
It's not going to be pretty. whatsoever. No, and like that's not a fun thing. You don't want there to be bad blood like that between like a city and a player that's like not based on like on. You know, it's one thing to hate, say, Kawhi Leonard because his shot bounced a couple of times and it like blew up the team in a way. But like this just sucks, right? Like this just kind of sucks. But here, so here's the next thing I think of when it comes to this: the CBA. There's opt-outs after the 2022 season or at the 22-23 season. So at the end of 23, both sides can opt out. You have to figure owners hate something like this, right? And there's a clear playbook, I think. Make it dysfunctional, force your way to your preferred destination. And we'll see if it happens with Ben Simmons here. This is going to require so much pushback from the owners to try and combat this and to stop a situation like this. And that might make those next CBA negotiations like really contentious and something that could lead to a lockout, I think, because owners can't like when a guy signs a 5-year deal, a 4-year extension, whatever, and then immediately is like, I want out and I'm going to brute force my way out of here. And so I wonder what like the impacts of this, of Ben Simmons taking such a dramatic stance on all of this does for CBA negotiations in the future. And then how does that impact other players, right? Like star players can do this. Anthony Davis could do this. And you knew that it would be fine because you were going to get a good return for him. You don't know necessarily what the return is going to be for Ben Simmons. If you can't get a good return from him and all of a sudden you have all of these star players forcing their way out and giving their teams bad trade assets and bad return, owners aren't going to be cool with that at all. Governors, I should say, aren't going to be cool with that at all.
Yeah, and that's why this is so fascinating, because it's going to get to a tipping point eventually. And right now, as it currently stands, you feel like if you're the Sixers, as we sort of already spoke to, at some point you're going to have to just make a move to try and help the team be good this season. I mean, I don't think you can really afford to just let this slide. But the point about the contracts is certainly noteworthy. And this, again, comes back to the fans. I mean, we saw this in Milwaukee last offseason, last summer, where Giannis extends. And one of the points that we made on the show straight away is that back in the day, you probably look at that and you say, okay, Giannis is in Milwaukee for 5 more years. But we did make the point that, yes, he's signed the contract. He'll be here this season. More than likely, he'll be in Milwaukee the whole time. Knowing Giannis, it seems like the type of thing that he would do. But he doesn't have to. It just doesn't mean the same thing anymore that it used to.
Yeah, look, with player options and then realizing basically that before you get to the final year of the deal, players can kind of force their way out. It's like a 5-year contract's like a 2.5-3 year contract, like at the most, is kind of what it feels like. Because look, there's a playbook out there. There's like evidence to follow and do. And again, as I'm pro player empowerment, move around. Look, it makes our jobs easier and things like that. But man, there's losers in this and they're the fans. And I hate that, right? Like, how many questions did you probably get covering all of that, of people being like, I'm not buying a Giannis jersey because I'm not sure he's going to be here in 2 or 3 years. And like, that's not a fun situation to be in. If you're a fan, you want to know that this guy is going to be here for X amount of years and you can kind of count on that. And it's going to be worth like emotionally investing into this team, not to even forget about like monetarily investing in terms of merchandise and tickets and all that stuff.
Yeah, and you know it again. I mean, you're living it again, the next few years and the speculation around Zion. I mean, yes. this is the thing, and this is part of being a fan, or, you know, for us covering teams in smaller markets. And that's why I think it's a shame. And we'll see where Ben Simmons ends up. But what we've seen in the past generally from these situations is players force themselves from one situation into a big market, which I think if that continually happens, then it's not fun. It's not fun to see that. The trade speculation is fun. The drama is cool. It's a great story. People talk about it, but ultimately we want to share the love a little bit. We can't have these guys forcing their way out to the big city all the time. Well, fair to say, Philadelphia is a big city, but this is a unique situation.
It is. It's actually very strange to see someone in one of the bigger markets trying to kind of get out of there. But I don't know if it's like a glamour destination like LA or Miami or New York is. And I clearly it's not. But also things, as you said, it's unique because things got really bad really quickly there. As we kind of covered in the first segment, we understand why. So I don't know. This is a storyline that I think is really important from a number of reasons. I think it has like long reaching ramifications for the next CBA. I'm going to be very curious to see if they can figure out a trade and what the return is going to be. And does that impact other superstars? I don't know. This is one of those things that I think is like a weird milestone for the NBA to kind of look at the league going forward. But for right now, we just got to kind of wait and see what's going to happen with the Ben Simmons situation. So that's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Go check out the Locked On Bets podcast. They're at like 65% of their picks hitting over the past 7 weeks across all sports. Get in on that. Listen to the show, watch the show, and then go make some money by listening to the Locked On Bets podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. And on Wednesdays on Locked On NBA, the daily free show covering everything around the league. I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Nola Jake. He's Kane Pittman, host of the Locked On Bucks podcast. Give him a follow over at Kane Pittman. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back with you all next week.